Our reading from the book of Exodus. Although Moses and Aaron performed various wonders in Pharaoh's presence, the Lord made Pharaoh obstinate, and he would not let the children of Israel leave his land. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one, and shall share in the lamb in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then, with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. It shall not be eaten raw or boiled, but roasted whole, with its head and shanks and inner organs. None of it must be kept beyond the next morning. Whatever is left over in the morning shall be burnt up. This is how you are to eat it: with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution."
Verbum Domini.
A thanksgiving sacrifice I make. I will call on the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will fulfill before all his people.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteo. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests, could lawfully eat? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Verbum Domini.
First reading today, we're going through Exodus and the Israelites' liberation from the bondage of Egypt. We're told that they were there 430 years. This takes place, scholars argue, but about 1300 to 1500 BC. They're in captivity, enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. And I would think that you would pretty much forget so much of your identity, who you are as a people and a nation, being enslaved in that way. It began as prosperous. They did well under Joseph, and then wound up being enslaved. And the line that sticks out to me in this passage is that each family is instructed to procure for itself a lamb. Procure a lamb. That the blood of that lamb put on the doorposts and the lintels will protect them from this divine judgment of God against the Egyptians. What kind of lamb must this be? Procure a lamb. They were to take, at evening twilight, we're told to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintels. You know, it seems, as church fathers have pointed out, an image of the cross, that the lamb, the blood put on those doorposts, later there would be the blood of the lambs spilt on the wood of the cross. This was to protect them from this divine judgment. God was passing over, the angels, the destroying angels would be sent to take the firstborn of man and beast. And they were to eat the lamb. They were to roast its flesh and eat the lamb. And we're told that these 10 plagues, this was the 10th, the last plague, the death of the firstborn, is God's execution of judgment on the gods of Egypt. Each one of these plagues is connected to one of the deities of the Egyptians. It begins with the Nile turning to blood, the Nile, the great life source for the Egyptians of water. They had made a god of the Nile itself. It turns to blood. It also speaks of the male children of the Israelites that Pharaoh commanded to be thrown into the Nile, to be killed. That this is about what you've done to my people, that he has heard their cry. We heard that yesterday. He's heard their cry, their affliction, their suffering in Egypt in bondage. Another one of the plagues was the 3 days of darkness. In the culture, if you were, dead for 3 days, you're considered good and dead, right? And that darkness was the death of the sun god, right? For 3 days, we're going to extinguish Ra, this god of the sun. And then the last plague, the firstborn sons, again, it's justice for what was done to the Israelites. Their male children were thrown in the river, a sense of justice, but also that Pharaoh was considered divine, and his sons had this divine status. So it's about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, is the one true God. These other gods are nothing. He's above them. They don't even exist, right? He's just convincing the people of this. And this final one, the death of the firstborn, the Israelites were given this way to protect themselves, to slaughter the Passover lamb, because God was passing over. And they were to eat with their loins girt, ready for a journey, because they were passing over, they were going to join God in that passing over. He was going to lead them out of Egypt, that it was through the power of God's outstretched hand that they are liberated. We're told in Exodus 7, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from among them." Exodus 9, "For this time I will send all my plagues upon your heart and upon your servants and your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth." This is the first of the commandment, that we should worship God alone. That's the message here. If you want to be free, serve the true God. And that is true for us in our redemption. This is about physical liberation, leading to a land of a promised land, land flowing with milk and honey. Well, we know in our faith as Christians that Jesus is freeing us from sin and death. a deeper bondage than the bondage of Egypt. So the God of Israel is God alone. We see that he reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush, that reading yesterday, and he sends Moses on a mission to be a mediator of his saving power. And God institutes, has Moses institute the Passover. So we have today the establishment of this feast for the Israelites, for the Jews, the Feast of Passover, is to remember what God has done. And also for them, it was more than just thinking, it was a making present of this great work of God that formed them as a people. That they were to go in the desert 3 days and worship God, we're told yesterday, I think it was. 3 days' journey to worship God. He's revealing himself to them. He's revealing his plan of salvation. He gives them the law. He gives them how to worship. All this is fulfilled in Christ in a preeminent way. At the Mass, we too are representing, making present, and even more unbelievable, realistic way, the Passover given to us by the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. So these events are prophetic. They are a prophetic sign of Christ's Passover, which is his suffering, death, and resurrection, his passing over to the Father, is the source of all Christian liturgy. It's the source of all Christian life, that he is liberating us from the slavery to sin and death, which is a bondage that we can no way break free from of our own strength. We can't fight our way out of that one. We just as much and more need to be delivered by the power of God's outstretched hand, because sin and death hold us bound. So we say Moses is a type, a prefigurement of Jesus, Jesus who is the one true mediator with God, that in himself he unites us with the Godhead, with the Father. The Church Fathers saw the crossing of the Red Sea as an image of baptism, entrance into this new life, the washing of by water and the Holy Spirit. They're going to this promised land. We're headed to heaven. And the Passover, Jesus is the Lamb of Sacrifice, his blood on the wood of the cross, on those doorposts and lintels that the blood of the Passover Lamb was sprinkled. His blood is sprinkled on the cross for us. We see in the covenants this theme of blood and obedience. Entering into a covenant of God, they would have a sacrifice, and this commitment to obedience to God. We see in Hebrews 9, Moses took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled this book of the law and all the people. And under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we need a lamb. What kind of lamb is that to deliver us from sin and death? If you think of Genesis 22, it's such a poignant scene that we go through in the lectionary and the divine office, where Abraham is told to go to land of Moriah, to one of the mountains which God will show him, and this is Jerusalem, and he's take his son, his only son, the one that you love, he tells him, take your son, your only begotten son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him on this mount. And when they're going up there, Isaac asks, he's carrying the wood and everything, he says, where is the lamb for a burnt offering that you're going to offer to God? Where is the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. And then we know the stories about the sacrifice. Isaac, and the angel stays his hand, won't permit him to do that. And then we're told that, that Abraham called it that God will provide the ram, and they find one caught in the thicket, and he sacrifices that ram in place of Isaac. And he says, by your descendants, you know, because you've done this, by your descendants, all the nations on the earth will bless themselves because you've obeyed my voice. Blood and obedience. And that's what we see in Christ. He was obedient to the will of the Father. He was put to death by even religious authorities of the day at the time of Christ. The sins of us all are laid upon him. God has provided the Lamb. What does John the Baptist say in John's Gospel? He's standing with his disciples and he sees Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. That God has provided the Lamb. At every Mass, we say the priest holds up the Eucharist, says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. At every Mass, right, this sacrifice of the Lamb is represented to us, that we can enter into that, that we can be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, that we renew this covenant that we have with God for the forgiveness of sins. Procure for yourselves a Lamb. The Father has sent his Son to be that Lamb of God for us. And this mystery of substitution, that he is the suffering servant, by his stripes, Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. What a good God. What a merciful God. He's not left us in sin, in bondage to the evil one. He's freed us from that slavery. If we have the faith to receive it, if we have the willingness to give our obedience to God.